is the recording of June 27, 2018, regular Board of Directors meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive, Anchorage, Alaska.
Get the meeting started. Mr. Henderson will likely call in at some point. Can we start by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance? Present in the room, we have Director Reeves, Director Parks. On video, we have Director Morse. On telephone, we have Director Crawford. And I am present in the room as well. With that, we will have our safety minute.
All right, it's that time of year again where we're going to be firing up our barbecues. It's the 4th of July coming up next week. I wouldn't be surprised if just about everyone's going to be barbecuing some hamburgers and whatnot. So barbecue safety is certainly a timely topic for this board meeting this month. So if we could go to the next slide. So like last month, we start off with some facts. A lot of times...
Jim,
he
just joined the meeting.
Okay, so a lot of our things we do in safety is grounded in things that have happened in the past. So as we can see, hey, we got tips for this stuff because every year we seem to have about 9,000 home fires. So we have that happens. 61% of households own a grill. That kind of surprised me. I thought just about every household would own a grill by now. But it tells us that there's a lot of grills out there. July is peak month for barbecuing, so probably next month we're going to have these things fired up, so we have a chance to use the safety tips that I'll cover in a second. A lot of people have barbecues, but what really caught my eye was the last fact is that children account for 1/3 of the injuries, especially those under 5. That probably makes sense because they're really short and they're really inquisitive, so... things kind of line up, and they get themselves in all sorts of trouble, probably getting burned and whatnot. So if we could go to the next slide when you get a chance. All right, so let's start with some do's. Keep your grill. And so as I went through these, I kind of thought about myself. So I violated the first tip. Keep your grill at least 10 feet away from your house if you measured mine. It's nice and cozy against my wall, so I should probably move that back 10 feet so I don't start catching my house on fire. Clean your grill regularly. I could get better at this, but that just kind of gets rid of the buildup that results in grease fires. Make sure your grill is stable, otherwise it'll tip over. Mine's pretty stable, so I check that out. Check for gas leaks. You can do the bubble test. You can kind of look at that thing. It's always a good idea at the beginning of the barbecue season to make sure that your connections aren't leaking. Keep decorations away from your grill. I don't know what kind of decorations that might be. But if you have your decorations out there, they tend to be flammable. Keep a spray bottle of water handy. I'll talk about that in a second. Keep a fire extinguisher within a couple steps of your grill. Know how to use it. So the spray bottle is really more of a grilling technique versus a safety technique. But what it'll do is if you have a flare-up, and we've all probably experienced that before, where the grease catches on fire and you have flames and you panic, well, the first thing you're trying to do there is save your food so it doesn't burn. So step one is to get your squirt bottle out and just knock the flames down. Probably what that's doing more than anything is giving you a chance to safely reposition your food on the grill so you don't burn it. And then you can certainly let the grease burn itself off. But I know a lot of people use a spray bottle to address a flare-up to some degree. And if we could go to the last slide. We can go to the don'ts. I think we've all probably made this mistake before. I have an auto igniter on my grill, and it doesn't normally start on the first click. So if I leave my grill shut and it eventually clicks, you could have a small ignition, whatnot. So it certainly want to keep your grill open and get that thing started that way. Leave a grill unattended is a bad idea. I make that mistake sometimes because while I'm grilling, I get thirsty and I want a beer and I walk into the fridge and then I'm out of sight. So I should probably just ask my wife to do that or not do that at all. So I don't leave it unattended. Don't overload your grill with food. I'm a family of two, so I don't really make that mistake too much. But if you overload it, you could be more susceptible to flare-ups and whatnot. And, you know, if you're doing number four, I don't really know what to say for you, but, you know, we'll leave that tip in there. Don't use your grill inside. It's always a bad idea. So with that said, be safe when you're using your barbecues. We've made available some knife sharpening devices in the spirit of safety because a dull knife is an unsafe knife. So as you cut that steak or whatever you're cooking, if you're using a dull knife, cut yourself if you're not careful. So if that's something you'd like to avail yourself of, please do so. Those are available for you if you so desire. With that said, any questions or comments on barbecue safety? Perfect. Awesome. Have a great 4th of July.
You too. Okay. I got a couple of things that I need to do before we approve the agenda. Since Rachel is out, I need to designate an acting treasurer for the evening. Susan, thank you very much for volunteering to do that. And I also need someone to sign. Jim and Harry, who would you like to have sign your expense reports?
Susan.
Jim?
Could you hear me?
I'm just second.
Yes, I heard Harry.
Can you hear me?
We heard Harry. Jim? No. Jim, who would you like to have sign your report?
Would you sign it for me?
Sure. Yep, we'll do. Okay.
Thank you.
That's a little housekeeping. And now we'll move on to approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved. I move we approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Any further discussion on that? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as written, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is approved as written. And moving on to persons to be heard, member comments. And I see that we have a guest in the audience today, and I understand that you'd like to speak. Is that right, Mr. George?
Yes. Okay. I'm deaf and read lips, so if you have anything to say, please. Or if I understand people are on the phone, if somebody would interpret for me, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
My name is Jerome George. My family's been a member since the early 50s. I've been in the same house for over 50 years. We were traveling, and APD called and told me my house had been broken into twice in 9 days and totally trashed. Our financial records were compromised. All our bank accounts were compromised. In the mail, for 2 months of mail was sitting on the counter because our house sitter had left it there. In the mail were debit cards that were up for renewal. They were stolen, activated by the robbers, and they were cleaning out our accounts. So we canceled every card bank account we had from Alamo, Nevada. And if you can find that on MapQuest, good luck. It's got a population of about 18 people, and we're out in the middle of the desert, Nevada, trying to do this on one bar e-service cell phone. Since we travel for 4 months of the year, our life is on auto pay, auto deposit. We started calling. Believe me, Chugach Electric is mean, mean, mean. There is no way that anybody can remotely deal with you people. It's absolutely impossible. We were told that we had to come in person. Show ID, and I want a show of hands. How many people here have on them right now a deed to your house, proof that they own their house? I was told that I had to come in and show proof that I was the owner of the house and could deal with Chugach Electric over service to my home. This is what I was told. Okay? I tried to explain to them that I was in the middle of the Nevada desert. Is there some way that this could be done remotely? No. I have to come in person. I kept calling for 3 days, hopefully there would be intelligent life on the other end of the phone. Finally, I just waited a week, hoping there would be intelligent life on the end of the phone. I finally got somebody, and by this time, I had a new bank account with numbers that I could give. I didn't have credit cards yet. I didn't have checks. But I did have a routing number so that we could reactivate the auto pay. I gave those numbers to a Chugach Electric employee, thinking that all would be well. I come home and find out that the auto pay had not gone through on the new account, and that I was scheduled to have my service turned off. I don't care if you turn my service off because I have a 13 kW automatic generator that's on NSTAR, and I have a 2-month supply of propane that backs that up. So have at it, folks. Turn my power off. I had to come in. I had to return to Alaska, come in today, and sign the paperwork, and there is no physical way for me to deal with you long distance. My charge to you today as a longstanding member is you really need to reevaluate your policy on how you treat your members. We are members. We are not customers. We are members. If this was a bank, it would be easy. I would simply walk in and say, write me a check for $8.3 million. I'm cashing out my shares in the bank, I'm closing my accounts, and I'm moving them. I can't do that with you. You're a monopoly. I have no choice. It's up to you on the board to change the policy of how you deal with people. The president of another very large organization had the same problem. That president called me and said, I had no idea that we were this mean to our customers. She says, the policy is changed as of today. And she said, I would like you to come in and help us understand how our customers live and how you interface with us. And we did, and they put in place within 48 hours, a complete new policy on how to deal with customers. It can be done, and I charge you as the board of my utility to put in place some way that people can remotely deal with you. None of you have a deed to your house. Why do I have to prove that I'm the owner of the house? What difference does it make if Donald Trump or Putin pays my bill? All you care about is the check cashes. Think about that. You know? I'm open to questions, but I am really, really hot. I think you guys were absolutely mean to me. Absolutely mean.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Comments? Questions?
Well, we appreciate you being here and taking the time and the energy to come before us and tell us about the issue. This is the first that we've heard of it. I don't know what the time frame was that you were dealing with.
Well, this happened in May. And we've had to come home to deal with this. You're not the only one that has this problem. You're the only one that refused to deal with it. You had no mechanism for moving this up the corporate ladder to somebody who has the authority to bend the rules to serve your customers. Every other institution, when we said, is there a supervisor, is there somebody in the executive service that has the authority to ignore the lawyer's instructions and do something? You're the only one that has no process for your front office people to move an issue up the corporate ladder to somebody who can deal with a, you know, a little bit of an out-of-the-box system. That's the first thing you need to do. What another institution did is they created a committee of four people at the executive, you know, at a mid-level executive, not top executive, mid-level people with a delegation of authority to deal with issues that they call out of the box. You know, that
well, don't. I can assure you that we'll be talking with Lee about this, and you know that Lee can.
Yeah, I truly apologize for the service that we provided. Obviously, it's not meeting your needs, and there's a number of members that live remotely, and we need to be able to do business over the phone. I believe there are ways of reaching my office, and I'm not satisfied that you didn't get to me, and I'll deal with that. But I appreciate you taking the time to let us know if there's an issue. We'll have an internal meeting. We'll get it resolved, and we'll get it fixed. So with that, number one, I apologize. Number two, I commit to you that we'll get a resolution to it.
My number is 345-1841. I was in executive service for a lot of years. I had a $250 million annual budget. I know what it's like to manage. If you want me to look over your draft, I'll be glad to do it. Because I want this to work not only for me, but for everybody else. 345-1841. You want to send me a draft of what you're doing? I'll edit it for you. How's that?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming.
This is Jim.
Jim, go ahead.
Can we ask that I'm not doubting what you said about the bank, but obviously they had a really good product. Is it possible that they could give us permission to share it with us? Would that be to start with? I think they really leaned over backwards for you, and maybe please if you can understand.
How about I tell Lee privately rather than put this on the record?
Yep. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That'd be fine. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Did I understand correctly?
I
can hear a little bit, but yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll let Lee know privately.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. George, for coming in.
I don't need to know. I don't think I need to know that information, but...
Okay. All right, we're going to move on to the consent agenda. The regular things are on there, board calendar, training and conferences. Be sure you let Connie know if you want to attend any of these things that are coming up. The NRECA Region 9 meeting, as you know, is in Anchorage end of September, and the deadline's coming up August 1st. And the bank signature cards. Some housekeeping is on the consent agenda. Is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda? I move to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on any items? Hearing none, All those in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved unanimously. Okay, we're going to move on to CEO reports and correspondence. All right. Specific items that the board would like to make sure get touched on, or specific items that you were planning on talking about, Lee?
I don't have anything specific. If the maybe one of the ones that would be the annual meeting and election report, and if you're interested, we can probably walk through that one, and if that's of interest.
Okay. Does anybody have questions on other items, financials?
I'd like to just briefly touch on the financial reports and get some reassurance on the on MFI over INT.
I knew I was going to ask.
Absolutely. And they're good questions, given where we are through April, for sure. If I could just direct your attention to page 3, year-to-date. As you can see, through April, year-to-date margins are down $1.6 million. And coincidentally, base revenue is down $1.6 million. So while we have some differences amongst the expense categories, expenses are in line. It really has to do with the sales performance, like we've talked before. But I have good news. We have preliminary May. Sales are up 1%. And through May, we have cut this number in half. So we have been monitoring it, and we are seeing some improvement. So the draft May I've looked at. So the forecast, as you have in this, the last page is about $6.1 million. The forecast through May is about $6.5 million. So we are making some improvement, and we will continue to monitor it, and hopefully we'll continue to see cooler weather this summer, even though that's not very popular. But we are monitoring our expenses, and our expenses are in line, and so we will be making up some of that sales, and we already have made up some of it. So we will continue to update you as the months go on.
I know you're keeping a sharp eye on it, but it's a of concern to the
board.
It's
a big number. Yeah. Yep,
absolutely. So I think maybe it was the last board meeting or the time before we asked, you know, this decline that we're seeing, and it's written in here that it's weather related again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you guys were going to do some kind of study or an analysis. Have you made progress on that analysis on what parts of the 4% are attributed to weather and conservation and other things?
Yeah, so I don't know if you have the details on where we are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Study.
Arthur with Northern Economics.
You hired Northern Economics or like that. We should get a report in July, initial report. Yeah.
Okay.
Sean, do you know when that's going to be fully completed, the target?
We're shooting for mid-August.
Okay. So we should have information.
So we should have some additional.
At that meeting.
All right, great. Okay. Other questions? On the financials? Okay.
And Teresa, do you want to kind of walk through our annual meeting?
Certainly. Actually, maybe Sarah and I could tag team
on bet.
That. So we're kind of hand in glove.
We'll take a tag team.
Sure. So just to kind of clarify, Member Services handles the election side and that part of the administrative of the process, and then we supply the folks that put on the annual meeting, and Sarah's group is responsible for the planning of that. So we really partner well throughout the months that precede the election and annual meeting. We felt that, I think in general, that our election process and annual meeting went very well this year. Annual meeting, I thought, was a bright spot for us, and in general, we had nearly the same voter participation as we did last year. We were like 0.1% less, something like that. The process went smoothly. We had good communication with the membership. We use a variety of methodologies to do that, as we have in the past. I guess main thing is any questions for us about the election process, and then, of course, we can jointly answer anything about
Or any feedback you have about the way the annual meeting was held, location, anything. If you want to see any changes for next year, we have selected a date for next year. We are kind of planning around, we want to do it in between high school graduations, because that would take away from our meeting, and we'd like to do it before Memorial Day. So it kind of leaves us with one day. So we have on hold, we have May 21st, it's a Tuesday next year, on hold at the Dyna Center. So if it meets with your approval, wanting that day, then we can shore it up with them so we'll make sure we get their room.
Any comments or just remarks about the annual meeting?
Well, I like that having voting booths.
Actually, yes, that came up from our election committee as well, and so we've already got a placeholder for that for next year.
Yep,
that's great.
Yep. Rachel, I saw your hand, and Jim, I heard you, so I'm going to take Rachel first.
Sure. I had some pretty close votes. And do we have anything that indicates or triggers a recount or anything where we say, what happens when we get super, super close? We just, there's no extra processes, or it is what it is?
Yeah, the bylaws do provide for a recount at candidate request. We received no request this year. But there is a provision that covers that and speaks to that.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Jim?
Yeah. There was an irregularity, and I'll just leave it to you if you wish to address it.
It's on the agenda. You might not.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just want to say I thought that annual meeting was great.
The
things that you did, the double line, and the food was great, and it just seemed like it was really a good event.
It's happy for it. Yeah. We're kind of gearing up for next year. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of annual meeting people.
Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, thanks, ladies.
You're welcome.
So were we going to talk about the annual meeting for next year in more detail than just that date? No. Okay.
And any other changes that you thought you might want to see, but nobody mentioned anything?
No, I thought it was great.
And we have plenty of time. So, yeah. I mean, if there's other ideas that you'd like to see as the months go on, we have plenty of time to put it in place.
All right.
And I won't reserve the room for sure until you tell me.
I think you're happy.
You're happy with May 21st?
I'm happy if it's the only date. We much have to be happy, right?
It sounds like it's in high school and the end of school,
sort
so
of
it
a,
works perfect.
Sort of a done deal. okay. Item D, any comments on utility bill comparison? Any comments or questions? Okay. All right, we're going to move on to director reports. And architect. So I see that Brian wrote an update on that.
In your packet there is an update of the architect board meeting on the June 21st. And then a June 27th meeting. And I think for the most part, the board meetings have been vetting the memorandum of understanding amongst the six utilities on how to have the RRC organization stood up. And we did have a meeting with the commission this morning. And again, everybody gave testimony on what they'd like to see through the process, and the RRC we went through this morning, the reliability standards, the cybersecurity standards, and where we're at in that particular effort. Chugach, with the other utilities, have done an RFP. Chugach is leading that effort, and we're doing an RFP to come up with a consultant to help us put together our cybersecurity standards. And so those standards should be done, I'd say, Paul, by the end of the year.
Well, draft by the end of the year, and the intent is adoption in the first quarter of the following year.
And I think with the meeting today, the commission was mostly concerned with what authority does the RRC need? Does it need to have a certificate of convenience and necessity? Are they going to be regulated? And what is the process to get that going? So I think there's some concern that there may not be statute that would stand this thing up on day one. There may have to be a different work. So I think they are looking at the utilities to provide some recommendation on how this entity would be regulated and what the process would be going forward. That is something we've had discussions at the ARCTEC board meeting, and I don't think we have a resolution to that as of yet.
Comments or Harry, do you have anything to add?
Well, not really to add very much. Lee displays much more patience than I do. There still seems to be some difficulty in moving forward, and I'm glad that Lee is there to temper the discussion, because these guys just don't seem to want to move as far or as fast as we do.
Madam Chairman, I think what he's referring to is there has been functions that the RRC would do, and I think we haven't have perfect alignment yet with all six utilities on what those functions are, and I think everybody agrees that the RRC should evaluate and look at the reliability standards and the cybersecurity standards and then actually do the enforcement of those standards. The questions have been what level of planning does the RRC do versus the Transco? And then the other issue has been the economic dispatch and whether that should be in the RRC or should it be in the power pool. So I think everybody understands that all these functions need to happen, but some of the concern or the disagreement so far is what particular organization do these functions line up in, and where do they best fit? We have had a number of meetings with all six utilities. I think we meet again on the 12th of July, and hopefully at that meeting we'll have some resolution of what we want. I think one of the last things that ARCTEC did urge all the CEOs, GMs, is to take the position of ARCTEC try to get more of those functions built into the RRC. So that's the direction I'm taking at this point.
Okay. Questions, Susan?
So the RRC will be an entity other than ARCTEC. It'll be a different new entity?
Yes.
So good luck with that. But so who's paying for the effort now? It's still being paid for by ARCTEC, and there's sharing in the cost, right?
Right.
And what portion does Chugach pay?
It has been, and Brian, some of these things have been done on a per each individual, and then some have been on a load ratio share.
Yeah, this was done individually. We gave Seward a break because the number was pretty big for them. So Seward, we all paid a little more, and Seward paid a little less than just dividing it by.
So sort of a combination per capita load share.
Yeah, I think there was a $25,000 capital call, and three of us paid $8,000, and Seward paid $1,000. And some of the stuff going forward, we're looking at doing it in load ratio share.
Okay.
And then the reliability standards, we had already a pretty good, we had a lot of progress on that already.
They've been filed with the commission on April 17th. And so the commission is looking at opening the docket, rulemaking the docket on that later this year. And cybersecurity, physical security are in development right now.
So what's really being chewed on down here is the MOU about how everybody works together.
Right.
Is it worth our time to have a copy of that MOU, or is it anywhere
we can
of any interest?
We can certainly get it to the board. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else on architect update? All right.
Can I just ask?
Sure.
We lost you. We lost your voice, Rachel.
What?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Kind of. You're going in and out.
When people
turn off your video. Questions? Turn off your video, and then you'll be able to have full bandwidth.
Answer questions, if they could come stand under Mike, then any of Brian's comments.
She can't hear people. Oh. People have to come up to the mic.
Oh, okay. Yep. Will do. Okay. We're going to move on to REAP.
I couldn't hear any of Rachel's comments. What was said?
She just asked for staff to come up to the mic so that you guys all on the phone could all hear, because it's hard to hear, apparently. So we're going to do that.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you going to give that REAP update? Or?
I don't have a REAP update. The previous update was at the last board meeting, and I do not think there was a meeting right when I left out of town, and I was not there. Since then, no one has been at a REAP. There hasn't been a REAP meeting. The next REAP meeting is on July 11th from 2 to 4 p.m., and it's Future of Solar at the Siri Conference Center in the Siri building on Fireweed. It's in our calendars.
Yep. Okay, so Jim, you were the alternate. Did you go to the last REAP meeting?
There was the, first of all, yeah, you can hear me. No, I didn't. You appointed me, and there was no further meetings after that REAP meeting you're speaking of. There
okay.
has been none since. Next one is the 11th, my understanding.
Okay, so
unfortunately, it conflicts with the meeting we have on the 11th with Sherry.
Connie. It's back to back, yeah. It goes.
Connie's shaking her head saying there's not a conflict. So if there is, we'll work it out.
It's back to back.
It's back to back at 4 o'clock.
2:30 to 4 and then 4 o'clock here.
We may have to move it just a little bit. So I did,
yes.
Okay, and I did appoint Rachel as the REAP representative since Cece has departed. So she will take that, and you will continue to be the alternate, Jim, all right?
Yeah. Okay. Not really, but that's okay. Well, good God.
All right, moving on. You're up, actually, Jim, Director Henderson. Item C is the any kind of report that you would have for this committee accelerated transition plan moving to 100% renewable energy. Do you have a report for us, or can you give us a status of that?
Yeah, my understanding, and I wrote a note,
to this effect. One, I said I wouldn't have it done for 1 month, first of all. Second of all, it's an extremely large project. I will do a literature research and provide that to you. I have not done it, and I will not do it right now. The fact is that Chugach is involved in a very intensive program, which was probably a year and a half in its involvement, and I really don't see that they have the time nor the financial wherewithal to commit persons or monies to any sort of solution on this matter. I don't see any. If I'm wrong on that point, I'd be willing to be corrected, but I don't see you guys, the staff here, having the potential, having the capacity to handle much more. I will work on a literature review. There is quite a bit out there, and I'm not really too concerned about it. If the whole merger thing falls apart and you want to do some alternate things, then we can accelerate the process. If that's not acceptable, please say so.
Director Reeves has her hand up.
Yeah, Jim, I don't want to belabor this. I had suggested that we put this on the agenda because you made a comment about having already done an analysis at the annual meeting during the election, and there were also things out there on the internet, so I was just hoping that you would share with us what you already had and that you were talking about during the election. And if there isn't anything ready already, I don't see any reason to put any additional effort.
I'm not sure what you're indicating. If you think there was a completed plan, probably there are some people much closer to it. I know that the Gates Foundation has put a great deal of effort in it, and I'm going to chat with them. Certainly, Connecticut has moved very heavily in that direction, and I think Massachusetts also has. In fact, I'm sure Massachusetts has. Those are the indications that I have that this is a very feasible approach. Can I give you data that would convince you that we should engage in this today?
I thought there was already a report that we could have, but if there isn't, then I think we shouldn't belabor it. We have other things to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, well, I can certainly give you the study that the Massachusetts and Connecticut did, and they are moving in that direction with a great deal of acceleration. If they can do it, I can assure you we should be able to do it. But, if that's what you want, I can certainly get that to you.
Sure, that'd be great.
Well, not this weekend. I don't have it.
Thank you. Rachel, did I see your hand up? No, okay. All right, moving on. Other board committee reports, audit and finance. Rachel is now... head of audit and finance, and Rachel, I don't know that you have anything to report, but nope. Okay. We do have a meeting, our next meeting coming up, whenever that is.
On July 11th at 4 p.m.
Okay. Operations, Stuart?
Yes. So we've had two operations meetings, committee meetings since the last board meeting. The first one was May 20th. And the second one was on Monday, June 25th. And the main purpose, as we all know, there's two purposes or two items that are being addressed in the operations committee. One is CEO performance evaluation criteria, and I'll start with that. Where that's gone so far is on the May 24th meeting, we identified a subcommittee to look at it. That subcommittee met while I was out of town. I have received all the information, and I am compiling that into a single document in which it will be reviewed by the committee, and then at that point recommended to the board as appropriate. The target on that is, just to put some dates on this to keep me on schedule, is in a week I plan to have that document done, and the committee can review it, and we'll move forward.
This is Jim.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to ask, several years ago, much to my chagrin, I chatted with a friend of mine who I've known for about 20 years, Tracy Bean, who is with Mercer Management. I was chastised horribly by this board for going outside. There was no cost in that. That video exists. They do professional work. I'm probably one of the premier providers of evaluation. I would suggest that I cannot pull up that video right now because I can't find it. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I'm hoping that someone there can find it, and you should be able to review it. It was gratis of Mercer Management. It was specific to Chugach. They have done the work for Alaska USA for the last 20-plus years, and that's a $5 billion.
Jim, was it a PowerPoint? Because I remember we got a PowerPoint.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, it's a PowerPoint.
I don't know where it's at. Yes, it was a video or PowerPoint. If that's not using the proper term, it was something I provided you on the iPad. Yes, if it was a PowerPoint, that's fine. It was a exceptionally good presentation, as we can see in the board. We had a little bit of our CEO evaluation and bonuses. To the extent that we
Jim, you're cutting out. You're going to have to speak into your headphones or microphone.
So, this is Stuart. I think I understood you that there's a PowerPoint, and if I can at least get a copy, I'll review it, see what's in it. If you can do that, Connie. But it was very difficult to hear you speak, Jim. Your voice was breaking in and out. Is for the operations committee was to basically be kept up to date on the progress of the potential MLMP acquisition as it goes through, understand if there's challenges, risks, things that really the board, you know, we want to try to at least be aware and be understand where the process is going. I think the first meeting was really to set some basic understanding what was expected out of what the board was looking for. We did have one follow-up. It was supposed to be a biweekly meeting. I think the interpretation was a bit different, and it came out as a pre-review of the second operations committee meeting. I think we've sort of clarified that we're looking for something a little less, you know, formalized on a bi-week, you know, every other, the weeks between the official operations committee meetings, and then that would be the actual report meeting. And I think there's alignment there. Two resolutions did come out, and it's to be recommended to the board for further approval. One focused on the financial value to Chugach, and the other focused on schedule of the acquisition. And I think if there's anyone who wants to discuss details on that, that would be an executive session. Mm-hmm. But that's the report.
All right, thanks for that. Do we have anything on governance?
Only that Rachel has volunteered to serve on governance and to be vice chair. So when she's back in town, we're going to meet. And the principal issues that we need to look at are representation. Well, what are the
requirements for a non-natural entity to select its representative. So we think there's a, it's a little egregious the way it's written now. And then the other big one is maybe numbers of meetings. We know for certain that they're approved for the board because we know for certain we're going to have a lot of meetings this year. And if we are a bigger utility, we're certainly going to need to have, there'll be more work for the board in the future. So there's that too. And then maybe we'll take another look at election procedures because I think that was a good discussion about recount. And there have been various questions that have come up. So I think those are our three focus areas.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks. And other meeting reports. I know Susan and I had a meeting on Monday, I think it was, Monday afternoon, with a group that asked us if we'd be willing to meet and talk about some questions that they had about renewable. I'll let Susan kind of give a briefing of it.
Well, Doug Robbins, who used to be on the board, he was appointed to fill a vacancy and served on the board for, I think, maybe 2 to 3 years, maybe 3 years. He contacted Bettina and me and said that he had become the chair of the Climate Change Caucus for the Democratic Party. And he was really, he's taking it, his assignment seriously, and he wants to, he's going to talk to each of the utilities, and he has some questions that he poses. And we had a very good conversation. There wasn't any any challenge of us. And Lee had Lee and Connie had given us the AEA
RIRP,
and we gave it to him. And you know, we basically told him there's no way to make a significant increase in the percentage of the power production that's from renewables without a hydro project, and that we continue, Chugach continues to have people who are looking for the perfect hydro project, but that, you know, Wautana was the answer to everybody's concerns about renewables, and we thought that was dead. So it was really, it was a good meeting. It went about an hour and a half, and everyone was very respectful. And at the end, he said, is there anybody at this table who thinks you can convert to renewables without hydro? And to a person,
convert to 50%,
right,
and on to 90% renewable.
Yeah. And everyone said no. And he did say, I don't know, I can't remember exactly what his principles were, but the principles that they're trying to pursue are getting more, reducing emissions, in a cost-effective, reasonable way. So it was all perfect. That was all made perfect sense. So
cost-effective, scalable,
right,
and,
right.
Technologically proven,
yeah.
Technologically sound. So you know their premises were very good and logical and practical.
And Bettina encouraged him to get involved in ArcTech and to follow what the utilities are doing collectively. There was a lot of interest in, well, if you guys get MLP, then you can immediately take Fire Island 2. That was a premise that they had coming to the meeting. And we said, well, that's way down the road, and we couldn't possibly answer that question. Rachel?
Okay. One of the things that they were talking here at this meeting is that hydro is not counted in many states as a renewable resource.
Yeah.
That the large scale hydro is not. So you mentioned that question about how much you could do without hydro. Some of the programs that are rolling out are not counting hydro as renewable.
Well, they seem to consider it as renewable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is Harry.
Hi, Harry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Was there any discussion about having a more meager goal, like maybe 10% bump in renewable in the next 5 years, or can we try to have a a more reachable goal without having to have billion-dollar projects on the line?
Good idea, but not discussed. His questions were very much focused on what it's going to take to get to 50% and what it's going to take to get to 90%. So there were no middle ground numbers, really. So I don't know why that was his basis, but.
Well, that's the discussion I'd like for us to have, what we can do to have a 10% goal or whatever Lee says is a possible doable goal for the next 5 years or 7 years. Let's see what we can do instead of what we can't do.
All right. Thank you for that. And
can I just give a quick report on the Enrica thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jim will be really interested in this. We were on the Mira Kohler and I were on the phone for an hour and a half with the Enrica National Resolutions Committee, and Mira and I had prepared about a full page draft of language that would have said cooperatives have a responsibility or agree they have a responsibility to try to reduce emissions. And you know, and Mira made the argument that, well, it's not important to talk about what causes climate change. It is important to move to the question of how we can reduce emissions so that we're not further increasing climate change. Well, of course, that went over like a lead balloon. But we did achieve something. The committee agreed to change that sentence that we all fussed about. It used to say, "Furthermore, we support an open dialogue and encourage other organizations' continued research efforts to determine the validity and extent of human-caused climate change." And that was something that troubled Jim and troubled me and troubled a lot of other people at the national meeting. And now a lot of that has changed, and the sentence now reads, "Furthermore, we support an open dialogue and efforts to determine the cost effectiveness of greenhouse gas management proposals on future world climate conditions." So that whole idea of questioning the viability of climate change, we won on that one. We got a long lecture from the committee that there are many, many people in the Southwest and the Southeast who just aren't going to swallow that there actually is climate change. So, you know, the battle isn't over, but I felt at the end of the meeting that we had achieved something that would be meaningful. It was meaningful to me, and we'll see how it goes. But it was a lot of fuss to take out one word. That's the way that things get written, I guess. Thank you. For
sure. This is Jim. Thank you, Susan.
Sure.
You worked hard on that.
Well, it's funny, actually. Okay. I think that's it for meeting reports. We'll move on. We have no unfinished business, but we'll move on to new business, item 8. Capital.
This is Jim.
Yep, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I as you possibly aware, night before last, I went to the NACD meeting in Chicago. The speaker was a rather spectacular lady, and I don't have her name right in front of me, but she's on the board of Coca-Cola and IBM, and she is listed as one of the top 100 women in the United States. She had a lot of advice to the things that we're addressing with, culture, conflict of interest, our compliance issues. I will try to bring that into you guys at the next meeting.
And as a matter of fact, one of the, Karen Brown, who also was there, a remarkable woman, would be willing to come and chat with the folks at UGETS. These were some, they're seeing the things that we're just starting to do. They apparently have been doing it for years. These people were astonishingly bright. Of course, the forum was perfect too, but that's okay. I'll give you a little better, I'll write you up a brief and get it for you guys. It was just the night before last. Maybe it was last night. Good grief, it's been so, my schedule has been running like crazy.
All right, Jim. That wasn't actually anything that we have put on the calendar to discuss, put on the agenda for tonight to discuss, so we'll have to take that up later. Thank you. Let's move on to new business, capital credit allocations.
And Arthur and Jean, you want to?
Okay, so this agenda item is for the capital credit allocations. Should be noticed. So the allocation of capital credits is separate and distinct from the retirement of capital credits. Flying papers. And the retirement of capital credits is when the actual distribution of patronage is paid out to members. So what you have before you are the allocations of capital margins, and by approving this, that allows us to assign patronage or equity to the appropriate retail class. And once approved, each member will receive notice of their allocation amount. They'll receive notice through on each retail bill through a bill message. They can also go to the member portal, my account, and they can see their whole accumulation of capital credits. Inactive members receive a letter. And then Seward will be notified through the board resolution. We'll send that to them. Are there any questions on the derivation of the allocation of margins?
Anybody have any questions?
So there's not a dollar number. It's a percentage allocation.
There is a dollar amount. So the retail class received just over $6 million and Seward just over $30,000.
Okay, is there a motion? Hearing no other questions, is there a motion authorizing the allocation?
I move that the Board of Directors approve the attached resolution authorizing 2017 capital credit allocations in the amount of $6,018,165 to UGETS retail members and $30,559 to Seward Electric System.
Second. Is there any further discussion on the allocation motion? Rachel, I see your hand up. Are you there? We can't hear if you're talking.
I think she might have.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yep, now we got you.
Okay. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about like how that would look to a member. Like, is it, do you do the kilowatt per hour? How do you distribute that? So instead of just saying retail gets this much or residential gets this much, like, is it about this much per kilowatt that they bought? Like, how can you express that so I can understand the impact to a member? Or is there a way to do that?
Well, we will send, you know, individual notice of the dollar amount that the member will, that is allocated, but that dollar amount will not be retired until at some point in the future. So there's no impact to the customer on their bill, for example, today. But, for example, I would get a notice to say I get receive, you know, $35 allocated to me based on my percentage share or my share of the margins, if you will, from ChewGuest during calendar year 2017.
Yeah, I get that part, but I guess what I understand is how that, and maybe I can pick up this question when I'm actually in person. You know, how do I look at that and see what an impact would be for a member? Like, if, you know, do you have an average, like an average household is going to receive this allocation? I mean, I understand they're not receiving the funds now. I understand we're not retiring it, but like, is there a way to get a handle on what that number means? Because as it's presented to us, it's just a conglomerate, but I don't have a way of understanding, you know, what will be the impact on the members. Does that make sense?
I think so, yes. I think, you know, it depends on what the margins are for a given year, but on average, it's about 3% of your total bill that you paid for it for the calendar year, to put it in that context. So if I spent, you know, $1,000 during the year, I would get $30 back at some point in time in the future. Is that a
okay, thank you.
All right, further questions?
I guess I do have a question.
Okay.
So that has no impact on the amount of your bill with respect to fuel charge, just the generation component. Is that correct?
The margin.
Yes.
There's right. There's no okay. There's no margin on the fuel or purchase power portion of your bill, but there is a margin component in generation, transmission, distribution,
right.
And customer related functions. Yes.
Right. So I guess. To further elaborate on what Rachel's asking, if our fuel costs continue to go up, that percentage is going to be changing. So it's only on the base generation, transmission, distribution components.
That's correct. But the 3% that I referenced is on a total bill basis.
Right.
But it would be obviously higher than, well, you know, around 6% or a little less than 6% on just a base rate basis.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor of approving the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, with that, we are going to go into executive session. If there is a motion, please.
Madam Chair, I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 1025-175C1, 2, and 3, the Board of Directors go into executive session to 1, discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative, 2, discuss personnel matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation or character of a person, however, the person may request a public discussion, and 3, discuss with its attorneys legal matters, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of going into executive session say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
We are now in executive session. All right, we're going to move on to new business, item 10. First up, we have the approval of the integration consulting agreement.
I move that the Board of Directors authorize the Chief Executive Officer to execute the integration consulting agreement as discussed in executive session.
Second.
Any discussion on that motion or that consulting agreement, which we talked about in the operations committee meeting on Monday and I've looked through? No further discussion? Then let's vote on the motion that's on the floor. All those in favor of approving the motion on the floor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Moving on to the next item, item B, authorization to negotiate the asset purchase agreement for the potential acquisition. Is there a motion?
I move that the Chugach Board of Directors approve the attached resolution authorizing the Chief Executive Officer to negotiate and develop an asset purchase agreement with the Municipality of Anchorage for the purchase of all or a majority interest of MLMP with expected savings of at least $110 million and subject to due diligence under terms and conditions substantially the same as discussed in executive session.
Second.
Any further discussion on that motion? So do we? So we have a motion on the floor and a second. Do we want to take a vote on this? Are we ready to take a vote on the motion as written in the resolution? I'm going to call the vote. All those in favor of the motion as written, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Next item. Oh.
On the next one, no.
Okay. So,
Madam Chair, I move for waiver of the 7-day rule on the motion that we are about to consider on a schedule for the consideration of the acquisition.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor for waiver of the 7-day rule for the upcoming motion? Is there any discussion?
A second.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye. It's getting late.
Aye.
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 Any opposed to the waiver of the motion? All right.
Time limit.
Oh, waiver of the, time limit. Okay. That passes unanimously. Now we move on to the motion. Is there a motion on the schedule for the negotiation of the asset purchase agreement?
I move that the Chugach Board of Directors approve the attached resolution regarding the schedule for Chugach Board approval of the asset purchase agreement for the purchase of all or a majority interest of MLMP subject to the timely receipt of due diligence information and successful negotiations with the Municipality of Anchorage.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion on the floor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. We are going to hold off on item D, and we will have the CEO performance scorecard to talk about and take action on at the next board meeting. And talk about item E, which is the board vacancy. As you know, Director Cooper has resigned, and we need to fill the vacant board seat. We have a schedule that's been put together to give notice, advertise with some deadlines, and to be able to expeditiously fill the board vacancy. Hopefully you've gotten a chance to look through that schedule. And is there a motion on the board vacancy?
I move that the board give notice of Director Cooper's resignation and proceed to fill the vacancy pursuant to Board Policy 603 and Article 4, Section 8 of the Chugach Bylaws.
Second.
Second.
So is there any discussion Any further discussion with regards to the schedule that has been put together, or?
I just have a an information question. It's public knowledge now that she has resigned, right? We're not holding on to that for any reason, are we?
We filed an 8K, but we haven't done the press release yet. So we would do the press release tomorrow morning.
It's ready to go.
We had that. I wish I would have put that in executive
session. Well, speaking to the schedule, I have a milestone birthday coming up on the 21st of July, and Jim and I are going to be out from the 15th through the 21st. So would there be any possibility we could try to do interviews on that weekend, 13th, 14th maybe? Could we have any chance? We could meet, if it closes at noon, we could conceivably, all of us or part of us could meet and kind of refine the streamline the guy. We may get 5, we may get 15. And I would really like to participate, but we're going to Salishan. You can do it without me. I give you my.
I don't have a problem with schedule. This schedule is a push. That was my one comment, but I know that we really would like to efficiently get this filled. I would love to have it filled.
Well, you know, I'd be back for that week of the 25th. So if it could either be like accelerated or deferred to that week, if you want me to participate.
Well, we'd love to have you participate, of course.
Is this the minimum number of days we are required to hold to advertise for a vacancy?
That's what we've done the last 3 times. It doesn't mean that you can't shorten it. I don't believe there's a requirement of how long we have to advertise, but we typically run it for 14 days.
There's no express provision in the policies about us for how many days we need to advertise. It just needs to be, I think, a reasonable amount of time.
Anything shorter is
I would almost
kind of tough, but go ahead.
I mean, I would almost like to see it 10 days, and that gives staff time here to coordinate, you know, the candidate reviews and all, and then Susan would be able to participate on the 13th, which is the same, yeah, which would be a Friday right before you leave, if that works for
this. This is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
The 13th is my birthday. I would like to celebrate it.
Well, you know, we're down to 6 of us, and when you're appointing a new board member, I think 6 or 7 people is a very minimal number of people anyway, and especially if we get a lot of response. So I'd like to see everybody participate. It takes everybody's vote. I mean, we all...
Well, let's just do the interviews on the 23rd. When's our meeting?
We have an operations committee meeting on the 23rd, and we have a board meeting on the 25th, which is when you were looking to appoint. And when were you going to be out?
Well, I'm going to be out the 15th till the 21st, through the 21st, because 21st is actually my birthday. So if we did it the same day as the ops meeting, it'll make us efficient and it'll save the company a bunch of money, which
you
is always
have
a good
the agenda that day because you have the goals that day.
Oh.
And then you have Anchorage IRP.
Oh, dear.
So you can start
That's
the
a
advertisement
full day.
As early as tomorrow, mm-hmm. and maybe advertise through the 9th all the interviews, 10, 11, 12, one of those days before you leave.
And that avoids Jim's birthday. Does that work for you, Rachel? We have what appears to be a still picture, or she's sitting very quietly.
She has fallen asleep at the right time.
Yes, I think, sorry, I have to like flip back and forth between the schedule, the screen, and my phone calendar. And can somebody, now that I have the calendar open, we're talking about interviews, what week?
Okay, so if we did the advertising starting tomorrow through July the 9th, cut it off at, say that they have to have their applications in by noon on the 9th, that gives us one day to try to turn around the schedule and get interviews scheduled either 10, 11, or 12, maybe pick the 12th, because that gives me 2 days to contact those that have applied.
11th is the audit and finance and a REAP, and that's a bad day for me already.
Yeah.
So do you want to try for scheduling interviews on the 12th and then do advertising through the 10th?
I think we should give them a reasonable amount of time that can fit within our schedule, because it is over 4th of July week and there'll be a lot of people that are just out.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? Interviews on the 12th, and you want, how long do you want to advertise for? Till when?
I would vote through the 10th myself. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Give them a little bit of a chance to.
Yeah,
interviews,
I think.
For the 12th. What time do you want to start the interviews on the 12th?
Oh, you know what? I've got something that day.
What if we?
I have a 1 to 2.
Can we
meeting.
Can't move our board meeting to the 26th. I know that's a big deal, but that would give us a little freedom in there. We don't have to make this decision today, but that's another
idea. Well, it helps if you do.
Yeah, that way
yeah,
we can
you need
advertise.
Do we have to make the decision in conjunction with the board meeting? Like, it has to be board action, like, or can we just make the decision after, the day after the board meeting?
Well, then the person.
Does that make any sense?
We don't have
to appoint a board member at a regular board meeting, I guess.
Well, also, we want this person to be.
We want them sworn in.
We want them sworn
in. Yeah. So I am just catching up with my calendar. I have a camping trip on the 13th, but other than that, I'm around.
So, okay. So we'll interview for the 12th.
We offer interviews on the 12th, and then if there are leftovers, we can do them on the 23rd or 24th. I mean, I know that nobody wants to do them on the 23rd. I appreciate that, particularly if we're talking about an update on. Oh, boy. You got problems then?
So are we set with the schedule advertised through the 10th? Interviews on the 12th. What time do you want to start on the 12th?
I can't start until 4:30.
Oh.
And that's, I'm like at 3:30. It'd be early for me.
I don't have very many days that are
4:30 and 15 minutes a slot, or 10.
And I could, you know, we're just driving out of town, so if we had needed to have something the morning of the 13th, like spillover, I could do that.
That's
I think you're going to be hard-pressed to schedule all of these on such short notice. Like, I think if we can't do this, I mean, what are the candidates' calendars going to be like?
Yeah, so.
You talked about some telephone interviews potentially with a subset.
I would like to, you know, have a, we'll interview everyone as we are required to do, of course, but it'd be nice if we in-person interviewed maybe the shortlist after the, you know, the phone interviews.
So we're still looking at the
12th. Yeah, and I will do what I'll do what I can to switch my schedule around so that I can start
right
early.
Right now, it's the 12th at 4:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's about as I could go a half hour earlier.
I might be able to go.
Well, we do depends on whether we get 17 or 5.
Yep.
Correct.
So let's just do interviews for the 12th. So We are going to change this, so we're going to start advertising tomorrow. We're going to advertise through the 10th, and then the
probably Friday, because I don't know that we're going to get it in tomorrow because it's already late.
Sure.
So and we'll start advertising on Friday.
Okay.
If we go on the web page tomorrow,
right.
That's
yes.
Advertising.
Yes.
Okay.
So the 28th is okay to say.
28th. We don't want to run it to through the 28th.
And so we'll run it through the 10th, and then we'll review the applications. We'll close it on the 10th at noon, and we'll go through the applications and schedule the interviews, and interview day will be the 12th. And then we'll...
Do we review the applications? When you say we'll go through the applications, is that as simple as somebody at CHS qualifying them, or are you saying that we review the applications?
We review them.
We get them in a packet, and then we look at them, and there'll probably be another step in there where we review them, and it can be just a subset of us, I guess.
Well, Tom must review them for qualification.
We review them to make sure they're a member.
Yeah.
And that, and then the board will review them for substance, similar to what the nominating
committee. Is there anything that compromises the process if we get them on a rolling basis? Because I think, you know, if we get 8 or 9 applications to review, that we're supposed to be ready to interview on the 10th, and we're supposed to be ready to interview sometime during the day on the 12th. That's just a big load.
That can be done. We can pass them on okay. as we get them and approve.
Well, we could put them on a confidential tab on the iPad. You could just let us know that they're on there. Be better than sending them out by email.
Correct.
Yeah. I think that's a good suggestion.
So the maybe some subset of us on the 11th can go through the resumes that we do get, do some phone interviews, and then on the 12th we can schedule the in-person interviews. Be efficient. Okay, is everybody okay with that schedule as it is?
Yep.
Okay, so we made a motion. I think we had a second. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was going to say, As important as this is, please don't try to accelerate too much. It is important, guys, and it was on all the other seats we filled. And I understand where you're at, and I'm just asking. Just please be conscious of the importance of this, and accelerating the process may produce something we don't want.
Okay, understood. So I think we might need a friendly amendment on the motion that's on the floor to revise the calendar as written a little bit. Who?
Maybe to go ahead and revise that based on what we talked about. That way the motion that you can read just adopts the schedule.
I think that's
about.
Right. That's
that
what
better?
We should do, because otherwise we're going to be totally confused.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Do I retract?
I can't hear what Connie's saying.
She's going to go rewrite the motion so it actually has the accurate deadlines in it. And I think you can just accept a friendly amendment. Or you
okay.
maybe just start over. Withdraw the motion and start over.
We are going to, we're going to withdraw.
May I withdraw my motion on that I just presented?
And now we have a new motion that we would like to
please.
Make
I move that the board give. Hang on for a second. I move that the board give notice of Director Cooper's resignation and proceed to fill the vacancy pursuant to Board Policy
03 and Article 4, Section 8, the Chugach bylaws.
Second. All right. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we will vote on the motion for the director vacancy. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Do you have a second on that motion?
We did, Jim. You might not have heard it. We did. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. I know this is not conventional, but there's one little thing that I forgot to talk about in executive session. Can we just go back into executive session just a second?
I have to read that big long thing again. Under the terms and conditions of.
So, I
will. Okay.
I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 10.25.175, C1, comma 2, and 3, the Board of Directors go into executive session 2 discuss personal matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation or character of a person. However, the person may request a public discussion and discuss with its attorneys legal matters that immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. To executive session, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. I'm sorry. I should have. All right. Thanks. Director comment. Rachel?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. The training that I'm at is really, really excellent. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I feel like it's been a valuable use of my time, a good use of resources from Chugach to send me here. And I think two out of the three instructors I've had have just been outstanding. So I'm going to give Connie that information so that if we have people interested in other classes, I'm going to recommend. I know sometimes we feel like instruction is a little spotty. I'm going to recommend that they take these courses from these instructors. And I really, really appreciate the opportunity to have done this summer school education. So thank you.
Great, thanks. Jim?
I appreciate the opportunity to be here. So sorry if my voice is going, and I'm sorry if my bandwidth is not very good at all. You've covered numerous topics today. They're all important. As long as we're as open as we possibly can, thank everybody for that. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Harry?
I don't have much to say, and this has been a frustrating meeting for me because it's so hard to hear, and I've been cut off several times because it says that I'm out of the area, and it takes me a while to get back on, and I miss parts of what's going on, and I sure hope that I'm in the boardroom the next time.
Okay, thanks, Harry.
Sure.
Yep.
Thanks for the meeting. It feels like it was a really long meeting. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I want us to really, we had the opportunity to have a member come in and tell us some issues, and it reflects a member approaching me this last week and having issues with dealing with getting a power turned on. And just, we need to make sure we are listening to the members and doing the best we can. So I do hope that we can, improve. We heard the comments, try to improve and learn off those and make our communications or our capabilities much better in that sense.
Well, I really appreciate the
two operations committee meetings, and this meeting was the updated sign what's going on with our effort to acquire MLNP. I think, you know, recognizing, of course, that the board's role, we're not negotiating, we're just trying to understand so we can make an educated decision at the end to authorize it or not authorize it. It's just, it's really good, and I'm sure it's frustrating to have to repeat yourself, come in here and report to us when you really have a lot of time pressure, but I appreciate it very much. Lee, do you have anything?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, all. It was a good meeting. We did touch on lots of different things, so maybe that's why it feels like a long meeting. Thanks for your efforts, as usual. And I hope you're not barbecue. Thank you. And with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn. So moved.
Second.
All right. So all those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? We are adjourned.